Good morning and welcome, brothers and sisters, as we gather to worship for this Palm Sunday in 2021. Palm Sunday is a difficult Sunday liturgically because it is both joy as we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and there is a hard edge because we know what's coming. We may be learning as we wrestle with our text from Mark today, from scripture, we may learn from one of the minor characters a little bit about how it is we're called to live in a world that has joy and yet also a hard edge. So I hope you can join us for this worship service on Palm Sunday. My name is Mitchell Hay. I'm the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church in Essex, Vermont.
And I'm Barb Lemmel. I worship at Essex Center and I'm married to Mitch. It's good to be with you all this morning.
We are going to gather for a time of prayer, of silence, of sharing. And there'll be opportunities for you to share a little bit of your own thoughts a little bit later as we think about things in the world. And you can use your comments section on your Facebook page for that. And of course, share your prayers and concerns a little later in the service. If you have the bulletin that was sent to you via email or on your Facebook page, we are going to join together in the call to worship that is in your bulletin. I'll read the regular type and you can read out loud or to yourself the bold type in the call to worship. The story of faith is a story of courage.
It took courage for John the Baptist to prepare the way.
It took courage for Mary to say, "Here I am, Lord, use me."
It took courage for the disciples to drop their nets and follow Jesus.
It took courage for the friends of the paralyzed man to lower him through the roof.
It took courage for Peter to walk on water.
It took courage for Zacchaeus to give away half his possessions to the poor.
It took courage for Jesus to enter Jerusalem on a donkey.
Faith has never been easy. Faith is a way of courage.
Again and again, God shows us the way. Amen. As we start to enter into Holy Week, maybe this is as appropriate a Sunday as any for us to start with confession. And so as we come in our prayer of confession this morning, I want to share with you a reflection that comes from our Lenten devotion this year about Glennon Doyle, a famous author and writer who once wrote, "We can do hard things." It's not a particularly philosophical or earth-shaking statement, and yet that quote is everywhere on the internet. It's on t-shirts, it's on posters, it's on coffee mugs. And I think it's because it resonates with something deep within us. It's not radical, but sometimes we have to do hard things.
It's a good reminder.
It's some of the courage that we talked about earlier. To be vulnerable is a hard thing. It requires courage. Relationships sometimes are a hard thing. They require courage. Advocacy and justice require courage. Facing our privilege requires courage. Faith requires courage. Even confession requires courage. It's a hard thing, and we can do that thing. And so this morning, let's join together, trusting that God cheers us on and walks with us, especially when it's hard.
So I invite you to join us in this prayer of confession. God of palm branches and hallelujahs, we confess, we love a good Palm Sunday celebration. We love the sound of joyful parade. We love shouting hallelujah. We love that Palm Sunday means Easter is just around the corner. We love the good news. However, if we slow down and pay attention, we know that Palm Sunday was not a walk in the park for you. There was risk. There was fear. There was the threat of violence. You were leading a peaceful protest against an unjust empire, and the whole world knew it. Forgive us for glossing over the courage this day took. Remind us that the story of faith is a story of courage, and even we can do hard things with hope and courage. We pray. Amen.
So hear this assurance, family of faith. Even when we gloss over the truth, even when our courage fails us, even when we doubt that we can do hard things, even when we lack faith, God's faith does not falter. God believes in us. God loves us. God forgives us. Hear and believe this hard sometimes and good always truth. We are known. We are loved. We are forgiven again and again and again. Amen.
Amen. We recorded a young people's message yesterday. We sent out to y'all little Palm Sunday kits with a palm, either the sharp pointy palms like these or the gentler palms, as well as two more pieces for the rest of Holy Week, a nail for Good Friday, and a bubble wand for Easter.
Don't use the bubbles until Easter.
Timing is everything. So we shared a little bit about the meaning of Palm Sunday with some of our Sunday school kids yesterday, and here's what we recorded.
Oh, do you not have it, Jeremy?
We don't have it. Ah, then, friends, we will try to get that before the end of the worship service, or we may just have to send it out later on in the week. We apologize about that. And what we're going to do is share a prayer of illumination as we get ready to read scripture. And we'll try to get that out for later in the service. Let's take a moment for prayer as we get ready for Mead to share the word from Mark's gospel with us. Oh, loving God, if we could buy our way closer to you, we'd sell everything we have. If we could work our way closer to you, we'd never take a day off. If we could walk our way to you, we'd keep our sneakers on tight. But we know we cannot buy or work or walk our way closer to you. We must listen our way and obey our way closer to you. So, holy God, as you have so often done again and again, open our ears, clear out the self-talk that keeps us from you, dust out the negativity and distractions, remove any doubt hindering our way. Amen. Our gospel reading that Mead is going to share is from Mark chapter 11.
Good morning. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat upon it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, and it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12."
Thank you so much, Mead. We appreciate it. And we will have that kids' message a little bit after the sermon. Whenever I read the Palm Sunday readings from the Gospels, the soundtrack that comes to me is straight from Jesus Christ Superstar. I grew up with it, and all I can hear is Hosanna, Hosanna, Zanna, Zanna, Ho.
Which will now be in our heads all day. That's okay.
I sang it off key enough, it probably won't resonate with you, so it'll be fine. But Andrew Lloyd Webber did actually an amazing job at setting up what the feel was in Jerusalem on that day. Every Passover in Jerusalem was a tinderbox. The population of the normal population of Jerusalem, about 50,000 people, which was a good sized city back then, triples during Passover week, because there are pilgrims coming from all over the Mediterranean. Many people do their did a once in a lifetime trip to Jerusalem. And it was very nervous making for the Romans, who were the imperial bullies in the area, because what Passover is about is celebrating God breaking into human history to liberate God's people from bondage to empire. Remember in the stories from Exodus how God smites the firstborn of Egypt, passes over the Hebrews, the blood on the lintels, an incredible story. It was the story that defined the people. And in Jesus' day, God's people were again in bondage, not to Egypt, but to Rome. But the Pharaoh's name was now Caesar. And so everybody is waiting. Will this be the time? Will this be the year that God breaks into history again? Do you think God's liberating will in history will happen again? And so everybody is just waiting. They're on tenterhooks. Is this going to be the year?
And when Jesus comes in on the donkey, they all start shouting Hosanna, which I forget all the time. I think of Hosanna as meaning the same thing as Hallelujah, but it does not.
No.
Hosanna does not mean yay God, which is basically what Hallelujah means. Hosanna means save us, help us, deliver us, get us out of here. And so no wonder the Roman authorities were nervous. No wonder the temple authorities were nervous. No wonder people, their need was so pent up, and they were saying to Jesus, save us, save us, save us.
Imagine lots of signs saying Jewish lives matter.
Right. Yes, exactly. So we were doing some thinking this week about what we need to be saved from. And we were thinking about this Palm Sunday versus last Palm Sunday. Last Palm Sunday, we had no idea we would be doing this again this year. When I remember last year's Palm Sunday, it's sort of a blur of adrenaline and worry and trying to figure out the electronics.
Right. This was all still a novelty. This was only what, our third?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Second or
we
third?
We were new at it anyway.
Week, brand new.
And so last year, Hosanna was, please don't let Zoom crash. Right. Last year's Hosanna was, we don't know what is happening in this pandemic, except that it's everywhere and the hospitals are overwhelmed in New York. I mean, it was just, it was so new then. And then we fast forward to this Palm Sunday. We're still in COVID. And it feels like the save us is different, right? It feels like, oh, we're still here. There's still a pandemic. There are still hospitals getting overwhelmed here and there. As Mitch said, our Lent has been 400 days long this year. And so there's still the Hosanna, there's still the save us, but my sense is it's not quite as, for me, I should say, it's not quite as panicked and adrenaline fueled as it was last year.
No, it's old and fatiguing and
it comes after
never ending.
And it comes after a year when a lot of chickens have come home to roost. Mm-hmm. I think for us, not just the pandemic, but the immense inequalities that it's revealed to us in our society between white folks and people of color, between folks who have money and folks who don't, mm-hmm. the crisis in our climate, just all of these things have been exposed this year. And so as we start, as we come into this reflecting on Hosanna, we're curious for you, what is it you want to be saved from? If you were going to say to Jesus, save me from this thing, Hosanna, Jesus, what is that thing for you? And if you are feeling brave, write it.
Courage.
Put it in the comments and we'll share some of the things that we're all looking to be saved from. I know for me, the thing that I need to be saved from is not, that's not any different than it was last year, right? The thing I'm always needing to be saved from is thinking that it's all up to me, right? And so part of the adrenaline that was fueling me last year was feeling like I had to juggle all these balls and I didn't even know where all the balls were. This year, I know where the balls are. Well, most of them. Still feeling like it's up to me to juggle them all. That's the thing that I need to be saved from year after year after year. And not getting COVID would be nice.
That's a good one.
I'll throw
that
in too.
So again, share what might be something that you feel the need to be saved from. The thing I need to be saved from, and this comes out of my history with depression, I need to be saved from that spiraling down into paralysis, where I just want to find a nice deep hole to hang out in and not deal with anything, with my emotions, with the world going to hell in a handbasket. So being able to be saved from that paralysis is something I need to be saved from.
And I like that reminder that Hosanna does not mean hallelujah, because as Mitch was saying earlier, Palm Sunday always has a bit of an edge to it. There's a celebration to it. And then mm-hmm. there's also this may not go well for us mm-hmm. in it as well. Yeah. And so we're getting a couple of responses from folks. One person said bitterness about the past. Yes. Mm-hmm. Someone else has said pain and fear. Yes, whatever the targets of that pain and fear are, I think that's something that all of us need to be saved from time to time.
I think for our whole culture, there's just a note, a hum of pain and fear and bitterness about the past, self-pity. There is just a minor chord.
Right.
That is, yeah.
Which we acknowledge on Palm Sunday, because so often at the end of the Palm Sunday service is when we strip the sanctuary to get ready for Holy Week.
Right.
If someone else was saying chronic overthinking, That would be a great thing to get saved from. Wow. I can totally relate to that. And we often end the Palm Sunday service with Go to Dark Gethsemane, because that's where we're headed at the end of Palm Sunday. We know that the palms are going to get turned into ashes, and that those same voices saying, save us, are going to be saying, crucify, just a few days later, maybe because the save us is disappointed, right?
The save us doesn't happen the way we want it to. Feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So
someone else said, my ego and the soul weary deep sigh. Someone's written, save us from being apart, save us from people who won't follow the rules so we can get out of our homes and hug our friends and loved ones. Save us from those who seek to bring back Jim Crow. So many things, so little time to write it. All of that we bring to Jesus on this Palm Sunday.
Barb shared earlier that, this year has a definite edge because so many of our cultural sins that we've not been dealing with, COVID caused those inequalities to be writ large. The chickens come home to roost.
Well, and just this week, how many of those things did we see?
once again, like we're back to talking about a mass murder every week, one more time of young white men with guns killing people of color.
And anyone else who happens to be in the way.
And the visuals this week in Georgia, where we're watching a white male governor surrounded by six white men in front of a painting of a slave plantation that kept over 100 human beings enslaved, signing the most egregious anti-voting rights law since Jim Crow.
Right. And when a Black lawmaker tapped on the door during that signing, she was arrested and jailed for attempting to interrupt them.
Things are broken.
Things are deeply broken. And it's so easy for us to feel helpless, to feel useless in the face of that, and to cry, save us out of that.
Indeed.
So this last week, our friend and colleague, Steve Garnes Holmes, wrote a poem about Holy Week and our experience of it and our complicity of it. And we want to share that with you this morning. He starts out by asking, who crucified Jesus? And Mitch is going to read part of this to us.
Who crucified Jesus? Surely not I. No one did. No one, no disciple, no priest, no bystander, no Pilate, no soldier, no Jew, no Greek, no one who crucified him with nails paid for by everyone's taxes. We all did. We all do.
And this isn't the first year we've preached about that, right? No. That we may all be ready to yell Hosanna during the parade. The hard truth is that we also have completely in our capacity to yell crucify when we've been disappointed. And our place in the system enables that crucifixion, even if we don't yell crucify. And so what I love about Steve's poem is that he then transitions into our present day.
Who held slaves? Who failed to bring forth justice? Surely not I. Yes, we are all guilty. guilty of sins we can't prevent. The food you eat, the fuel you use, even the most generous acts is linked with another's pain. To be part of the living web is to cause death and suffering.
That caught me, right?
Yeah,
I think all of us don't like hearing that. Particularly those of us in the Northeast are like, well, you know, slavery didn't really happen here. It happened in the South, except it did, right? Mm-hmm. Or those of us, you know, who maybe whose family, like me, whose families are in the Midwest can say, well, you know, our families came over here from Europe and we just moved right over here. Mm-hmm. We weren't around to own slaves. And yet our families have connections into that. And yet we're part of a society that was built by slave labor. And yet we're part of a system that continues that injustice. And it's not any one of us, and it's all of us.
And that's how.
And then Steve ends up with these words.
For all of this, and this is kind of a prayer of confession.
Yes.
For all of this, we are absolutely guilty and in chronic denied grief. Mm. And for all of this, we are absolutely forgiven. This is the hard, awful, absolute good news.
We are all forgiven. This is the hard, awful, absolute good news. And for me, for who thinks that it's all up to me and I ought to be able to do all of everything that's required myself, another piece of that hard, awful, absolute good news is not only am I deeply rooted in this system that is unjust, I also can't extract myself from it under my own power. I'm not sure I can extract myself from it at all. Mm-hmm. The scripture talks about Jesus' disciples untying a donkey. We can't untie ourselves from this system any more than a donkey can untie itself when it's been tied to a post. We're caught here. We can create the illusion that we can extract ourselves, and yet it's an illusion. It doesn't make things better. And it feels like our only option is to do what we can, figure out what we can, to do the work of trying to bit by bit dismantle this.
So that's part of that hard, absolute, awful truth and good news is that we are forgiven of the guilt of the past. But we're also empowered because we work with God, we partner with God to be able to make a difference now. Did my ancestors own slaves? I don't know. But do I benefit right now from a continually racist system that needs to be dismantled? Yes. And am I called to make a difference? Yes. And that is the place where the good news that Palm Sunday brings in and the good news of that forgiveness liberates us, empowers us to be able to share, to make a difference. And I think that's where this donkey gives us such an amazing lesson.
Because we can't untie ourselves.
The donkey, Mark writes, was bound. And Jesus in the King James Version says, unbind him. In our modern translations, untie him. In order that Jesus can use that little donkey for Jesus' purpose. In this case, to ride into Jerusalem.
And so we don't untie ourselves, and Jesus unties us. As we said earlier, Jesus has not given up on us. God has not given up on us. God has good and hard work for us to do, And the good news is it's there for us day by day. We don't always know what it is. We have to do a lot of figuring it out and talking with folks and praying and all of that. And Jesus calls us to be untied, to bear him into the world, to bear love into the world, and not Hallmark card love, right? Real love, hard love, good love, redeeming love.
There is a sociologist, an ethicist at Harvard, who says that we are all called to love, and love in public looks like justice.
Yes.
We bear love into the world, we bear Jesus into the world, and that means we bear justice into the world as well.
And we bear justice because we bear one another's sufferings, because we recognize that we're all created, because we recognize that every single person has the image of God in us, and therefore we cannot forever withdraw ourselves, right? And so for this Holy Week, these next days leading up to Good Friday, we want to offer you a breath prayer. A breath prayer is simple. I love spiritual practices that are really simple because it's not hard for me to remember them. You say one word or phrase when you breathe in, you say another word or phrase as you breathe out. And so we want to offer you this breath prayer for your own practice in these next days. And it's something you can do when you're sitting and being in prayer. It's something you can do when you're driving and you're caught at a traffic light. It's something you can do walking in the woods, anywhere that you are. And it goes like this. Breathe in, carry love, and breathe out into the world. Carry love into the world. Carry love into the world. That is what Jesus unties us for. And sometimes it takes a lot of courage. Sometimes it's so simple and obvious. Sometimes it's really complicated and not obvious at all. Sometimes we'll make mistakes, and that's what forgiveness is for, right? And confession. And we keep doing it just like our bodies keep breathing. Carry love into the world. Carry love into the world. May this be your prayer, our prayer, in these days leading up to Good Friday, which for us is maybe the best example of God carrying love into the world. Amen.
Amen.
We have some music from Catherine, and then after that, we're going to move to the kids' message, which we couldn't do earlier. So those are both coming to you. Thank you.
Well, it is good to have you all here. And it is wonderful to have you. Even though we can't see each other live at church, we get to see each other on Zoom. And we are going to learn a little bit about what happened the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey, riding on a donkey for a big celebration. As we were saying before, a little earlier, they didn't have flags. They didn't have birthday balloons. But they wanted to wave something wonderful to say how happy they were that Jesus was coming into town. And so they did a couple things. They took off their cloaks, their outer garment, their coats, and they threw them on the ground, or they waved them around, and they grabbed branches of trees and waved them. And so we sent out worship kits with different kinds of palm branches. This is a whole palm branch here. It's pretty cool. And you all have pieces of palm branches. And they shouted loudly as Jesus came into town, "Hosanna." And let's try that again. Let's say "Hosanna" real loud. Ready?
Hosanna!
Excellent. And they also shouted, "Hallelujah." Try that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Excellent. So why don't we pretend that Jesus is coming into town and you're really happy to see him and you're really hopeful that he's going to make some wonderful changes in the world. And so we're going to wave our palms and we're going to say Hosanna three times. You ready? Wave those palms.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
And then we're going to yell hallelujah three times. Ready?
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Awesome. You guys sound great. Now, believe it or not, there were people who were yelling at Jesus, not with him, but yelling at him, saying, "Tell your people to be quiet. Tell all those kids to stop yelling Hosanna." And Jesus said, if the kids were quiet, the stones themselves would start yelling. How would it sound like if a stone yelled? How would a stone say, "Hallelujah"? I'm not sure. You guys have to work on that. You figure that out and let us know. Something like that. So this week, we are celebrating Jesus coming into Jerusalem. During the week, on a night called Good Friday, we're going to remember Jesus being arrested and crucified. And then on next Sunday, we are going to share an Easter celebration, another celebration. And part of the kit you guys got are a bubble wand, and we'll be sharing that. No, don't get that this week. That's next Sunday. A week from tomorrow, we will share the bubbles to say hoorah on Easter. So thank you. It was so good to see everybody. Thank you for being a part of this kid's message, this young people's message, and thank you for all of your enthusiasm and joy, and I miss you guys so very much. So happy Palm Sunday, and blessings to you, and have a great rest of your weekend, okay? Bye, guys.
Bye.
Oh. We're going to have some time. Thank you for all of you who have been sharing prayers in the comments. Continue to do that. In your bulletin, there's a prayer for the week by Dr. Howard Thurman, an African-theologian in the mid-20th century who was an incredible influence on Martin King and was the dean of chapel at Boston University School of Theology, where we went to school. If you need some help to get to share, we're going to, Barb's going to share a prayer from our district superintendent, Jill Colley Robinson.
So let's join our spirits. Need Jesus? What do you need, Jesus? That's what we should be asking. But even as we ask, even as we scurry about fetching all that is required for your safe arrival in the holy city of Jerusalem, even as we lift our branches and lay down our coats, even as we endeavor with all our hearts to honor you, an ancient word is stuck in our throats, so much so that it's difficult to breathe. At first, it is only a whisper, Hosanna. But then it is a shout so loud and long that we grow hoarse and do not recognize our own voice. Hosanna, Hosanna, that word from time in the wilderness when we wander toward we know not what. Hosanna, the word from the psalm that we love to say with the whole congregation as we wave our branches and celebrate your promise fulfilled. Hosanna, that word encompassing all that we need. Save us, liberate us, deliver us. Hosanna, that word aching with desperate hope born of this present suffering. Please help us, save us right now. This is our humblest, sincerest, most ardent prayer, to name our need even as we provide for yours, believing and trusting that you, only you, can help us arrive safely in your holy city, the New Jerusalem. Hosanna, save us. We need you, Jesus.
We have folk in the congregation who have said how much they need you, Lord. We have folk who feel useless and helpless. And we lift up specific people. Don lifts up Peggy Rogers for strength and healing. Pat lifts up prayers for their neighbors, the Strattons and the Hayes, who have health issues. Sharon lifts up prayers for Rick Chitwood as he makes decisions after his recent diagnosis. Liz prays, loving God, please hold my friend Ursula, who lost her husband of over 40 years to cancer this week. Catherine lifts up prayers for those suffering from Alzheimer's and those who love them and support them. And I and the donkey that Jesus could use even an ass for his purposes 2,000 years ago. And that means he can use them today as insurance.
And so in that confidence and in our need and in our thankfulness, let's share the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this daily our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We have some announcements for you. News is that we are going to have a short coffee half hour. After Zoom worship at 11 o'clock, there's a Zoom link in your bulletin. So come in to that Worship One.
It's also at the front of the comments for this worship service on the Facebook page.
Terrific. Thank you, Jeremy, for putting that in. Tomorrow, we're going to be having our Bible study, part 5 of How to Read Biblical Poetry. We'll be seeing how poetry is being used in the books of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs, and Proverbs. Is our today's service, and you'll be sending out details about the rest of Holy Week, but want you to know that our Easter sunrise service is going to be in person at 6:30. We can only have a limited number of folks, so we're going to have a that's going to go out online to sign up for that so we don't overcrowd the field. And of course, we'll have our Easter live stream service at 10 o'clock, a Good Friday service, all those details will be coming out in the newsletter.
And we have birthdays to celebrate this week as well.
Today is Donna Paffrath's birthday. Happy birthday, Donna. Okay. In Emmett Sturgeon's birthday, and Alan Nye. I think that is all the announcements we have. Thank you for being at worship with us on this Palm Sunday, but also a day with a hard edge. And God grants us courage and hopefully some wisdom for the living of these days. Cheryl, who is an Australian poet, has this benediction for us for Palm Sunday. We lay down the palm branches, and with them we lay down our belief that there is another way for you to be God. As the last echo of the final Alleluia fades, so does our hope that this journey can end in any other way. The week stretches ahead, gloryless and painful. Whether we walk with all faith or none, we look towards the cross, knowing it is both the most human and the most divine of all journeys. Travel the road with courage, with love, and with the uneasy peace that is the gift of faith into this holiest of weeks. Amen.
And we invite you, if you wish, to sing along this first verse of Go to Dark Gethsemane. Go to dark Gethsemane, ye that feel the tempter's power, your Redeemer's conflict see. Watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away. Learn of Jesus Christ to pray. Go in peace.
Have a blessed Holy Week.